in a series called Joy to My Soul, and every week it's been How is Something, and today it's How is My Calling. There's a very interesting story in N.T. Wright's little commentary on the book of John. He says, two small boys were playing in an overgrown yard. They didn't realize it, but the elderly gentleman who was the owner of the yard in the house was very ill, and nurses and doctors would come and go, but no one else. So the boys, they were brothers, they just kind of took over the yard, and they came up on a tennis court, but they had no idea what a tennis court was. There was a saggy net and a lot of leaves, and there were markings that they couldn't figure out what it was for, but they knew it had something to do with sports, and they had a soccer ball. So they got the soccer ball, and they kind of had a daily game of, you know, kicking the ball over the net, and it had to land within these places, but it wasn't much fun. It was pretty boring. But the son of the old man who was so ill came home from abroad and happened to look out the window while the boys were trying to do something reasonable on the tennis court. And so he smiles to himself, and he runs, and he grabs some tennis equipment, and he comes running out into the yard, and the boys are like terrified. Oh, no, we're trespassing. And he said, no. I just want to ask you something very important. Wouldn't you like to play the real thing? And then he taught them to play tennis. And so they knew how to play the real thing. They found out what the court was built for. Most people live their lives like those boys. They, you know, there's certain things in your life that mean something, but you're not sure what they mean, and you're trying to find a purpose. You're trying to find out what your calling is, and you maybe are playing around with something, trying to make it work, but it doesn't work very well. We read about a man like that in John chapter 5. This is a man at the pool called Bethesda in Jerusalem. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem at the Sheep Gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. By the way, for many, many years, skeptics believed that that didn't actually exist, that it wasn't actually a place. And a few years ago, they actually uncovered it. Archaeologists found it. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am going, another steps down before me." There was a belief that an angel would come and stir the water. And if you were the first one in the pool, you would be healed. It's kind of a pagan belief. It wasn't really a Jewish belief. But there he lay for 38 years, or a long, long, long time. He must have told Jesus, "Yes, I want to be healed," because Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed," which was like a mat on the ground. "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." When I was a kid, I kind of had a picture in my mind of this guy picking up this bed with a mattress and box springs, and it was just a mat. And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and he walked. Then all the way down to verse 14, we're going to leave a lot of the story out today. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." Now this man had assumed for himself a calling, a purpose in life, and that was he wanted to be healed. But he didn't know how, and he was believing this story that probably wasn't true. Plus, his sin played a role either in his illness or his situation or both. We have no idea what his sin was, but Jesus did, and Jesus addressed it. And Jesus essentially issued a new call to this man who had been lying there for who knows how many years, waiting for a miracle that never happened, trying to solve his own problems in the wrong way. And it's like Jesus said, "Wouldn't you like to play the real thing?" You know, instead of just continuing in your situation. Do you want to be healed? That's like saying, don't you want to play the real thing? Don't you want to know what life's about? Don't you want to know your purpose in life? Wouldn't you like to know the holistic healing of spirit, soul, and body that only God can provide? Wouldn't you like to know the power of the age to come? Because there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And it's breaking into the present evil age through the power of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you like to know that now? Wouldn't you like to experience it now in anticipation of the age to come when there will be no more illness? Now, this is the way Jesus' call starts with all of us. A few weeks ago, we preached a sermon from Matthew 11 where Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." The call of Jesus is always an invitation to healing. It's always an invitation to rest. It's always an invitation to finding your purpose, to finding your calling, to finding out what life's really about. And we live in a generation that's got it all messed up. I guess every generation of human beings messes it up. It's a desire for self-fulfillment and purpose that comes out of your own understanding of what your purpose is and how to achieve it. Very often, people attempt to achieve what they think is their purpose at whatever cost to others, whatever it does to other people. We see that right now in politics in our own country. We have a whole generation that's been taught that, like, looking from the inside out, from the inside of yourself out, you would be saying, "I am the most important thing in my life. In fact, maybe I'm the most important thing on the planet. And I'm really great. I've positioned myself to become really great, and so everybody will notice me." This is related to the search for meaning that has manifested itself in our country over the last 30 or 40 years, maybe 50 years, to try to create a self-esteem in our kids. One psychology professor says this: "We have learned later that self-esteem is a result, not a cause." Self-esteem comes from really finding your purpose and finding your calling and actually achieving something. The problem is, continuing what this man says, the problem is that when people try to boost self-esteem, they accidentally boost narcissism instead. All that self-esteem leads them to be disappointed when the world refuses to affirm how great they know they are. Well, the man by the pool had never been, nobody had ever said anything nice to him, I'm sure. Nobody had ever come and said, "You know, you need to have some self-esteem." That wasn't his situation. He was like a beggar lying in the dirt. But the basic underneath problem is still the same. It's like, "I'm going to solve this. I'm going to find my own solution. I'm going to, you know, I found this tennis court, but I don't know what's a tennis court, and I'm going to use it for something, you know." And so he's not a bad guy. We're not saying he's a bad guy, but think about it. He's concentrating on himself, on his own needs, and dreaming of what he will achieve when healed. I mean, I'm thinking that he would be doing that. But he's been there up to 38 years. Surely after the first 5 or 6 years, he would have thought, "There's got to be a better way." But it's on this day that a man comes into his life and says, "Wouldn't you like to play the real thing?" Isn't that great? So I'm going to go through a few points here in just a moment. But the point that we want to make here is self-help based on concentrating on yourself won't cure you. Now, this is against the backdrop of this sermon series, "Joy to My Soul, How's Your Calling?" What's the relevance of this passage? Well, Jesus extended his call to this man when he said, "Do you want to be healed? Wouldn't you like to play the real thing?" And Jesus' question for me and for you today is, he's asking me, Herschel, how long are you going to do it your way? How long are you going to try to play with a soccer ball on a tennis court? You ever feel like you're doing something stupid like that? Or how long are you going to lie by that pool and wait for the water to be stirred? How many years? So I see 4 steps we need to take to get healed, and I cannot see the clock. I don't think it's there. What? Don't worry? Okay, we'll go till 2 or 3 this afternoon, right? He'll be telling me what to do in a minute. Step one, say yes to the call of Jesus. He's calling each of us right now. The call comes differently to every one of us because we're all different and our situation is different. So to the man at the pool, he says, "Do you want to be healed?" It was an appropriate question. That may not be the invitation of Jesus to you. You've got your own situation, your own life, your own personality, your own character. You were created by God for His own purpose. But He's going to come to you and He's going to invite you. Some version of that question. Maybe it's not about physical healing, but something about your life. He has something for you. Obviously, the man said yes. He opened himself to Jesus. He had to put his faith in this man who asked him this question. After 38 years, he's tired of his own way. And I just want to say, he knew a lot less about Jesus than probably almost anybody in this room. After all, this was before Jesus' death, before Jesus' resurrection, before Jesus demonstrated that He is God in the flesh. And yet, Jesus came to him with such love and such authority that the man just somehow responded and said yes. And so, that's just amazing to me. And it reminds me of what it says in 1 Peter 2:9, where it speaks of the Lord calling us out of darkness into His marvelous light. The call of Jesus is always a call out of darkness into light. It is always a call out of death into life. And the challenge that I think God has for me and you today is, believe that Jesus exists, believe that He loves you, believe that He is calling you, and say yes. Step two, having said yes, do what He says. And this one I want you to listen to really carefully. Rise, take up your bed, and walk, He says to this man. Rise is the same basic root word that our word resurrection comes from. It's not the word they use to get out of bed. It's the word related to being raised up. And so Jesus says, rise, take up your bed, and walk. When Jesus says to you, whatever your situation, rise, when Jesus says that, and you make the weakest attempt to get up. I think about one man in the New Testament. Jesus said to him, "Do you believe?" And the man said, "I believe. Help my unbelief." I find great comfort in that. You make the slightest response to get up, the resurrection power will surge through your being. He enables you as you respond. Now, this is so important. The man did not wait to be magically levitated. Do you want to be healed? Yes. Rise. Get up. Well, the man did not wait for a magical levitation. He didn't wait till some kind of power to begin to move his legs for him. He didn't wait once he got up for the bed to magically be thrown into his arms. But you see, we can never quite explain and understand the connection between the moment you believe Jesus and you take that first step of faith. There's something for you to do. Jesus has something for you to do to receive this resurrection. So you say, yes, I want to be healed. Yes, I believe in you. And He has then, you know, well then repent. Well then stop sinning. Well then get up. Well then something. I can't say what it is, but it's a response. It's a response. You're not, you know, you're being pulled out of darkness into light by His invitation and by His love. And He has all the power extended to you. And as you respond, the power of Jesus flows into you to be able to do it, and it begins a life of transformation. That's why in the book of Acts, you know, when Peter preached the first sermon after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, he said to them, repent and believe, and you will receive the power of God. Repenting was something for them to do, you see. Proactively putting your faith in Jesus is something for you to do. So you've been waiting for the waters to move, to come to healing and purpose your way. Now you believe that Jesus is calling you. He's saying, get up and let's do it my way. Let's play some tennis. That's what Jesus is saying to you. Now, if you don't like tennis, pick your favorite sport. That's what he's saying to you. You can't just ask him to forgive you so that you won't go to hell. Rather, you cooperate with his healing and transformation of your life. His word says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. So he enables you through transformation power to respond to his call. Step 3, embrace the big picture call to turn outward, to serve others. This is part of the call of God. It is never just a call out of darkness into light. It is always a call to purpose. It is always a call to service. It is always a call to do something for this world and for other people and in the name of Jesus. Maybe you've been concentrating for so long on your own stuff that you are paralyzed like that man by the pool. Once you're healed, once you obey and get up, Jesus immediately calls you to turn yourself, your attention from yourself to others. Some of us this afternoon are going with Julio under the bridge. If any of the rest of you want to go, come with us. There are a bunch of homeless people that gather together there for lunch and a ministry. And it's not what you expect. It's really something anybody in this room can do. Some of the children go out there with us and pray for people. It's just amazing. Well, it doesn't have to be that, you see. But Jesus said in the big picture, and I'm just shortening this, go into all the world and make disciples. Go into all the world and make disciples. You serve them. You love them. You teach them about Jesus. You show what Jesus is doing in your life. And it's very active. It's not passive, but it's not in your face. It's not twisting their arms behind their back or hitting them overhead with a big Bible. It's let me love you, let me serve you, watch what's happening in my life. And you see, Jesus has called everyone in this room to his big picture call. And it's an eternal investment. It's an eternal investment. It never stops paying dividends. If you just, you know, believe, let him heal you, rise, get off of that mat, and let him teach you how to play tennis, and accept the big picture call and believe it's not just for pastors like John or me. It's for everybody. Step 4, work out with God how this will look in your life. Work out with God how this will look in your life. Believe and discover how this will uniquely be fulfilled in you, because it's not the same for any two people in the room. You are called and God is equipping you, but it has to do with the way he's created you. I look at all these, aren't y'all delighted for these young ladies who come with to our church every week from the Salina House? Every one of you are unique. I bet the people who are here who brought you today would say amen. Every one of them is unique, right? In fact, parents here know if you have 2 children, they're going to be very different. If you have 3, they're going to be very different. We have 5. They're all very different. One of the best is right here. Don't tell your brothers I said that. But God created every one of you young ladies. He has a special blessing and a special calling for each one of you. Now, we're all called to make disciples for Jesus, but in our own unique way, in our own unique gifting. And in Romans chapter 12, a passage I can't read today, but it's verses 3 through 8, it talks about all the ways God works with us individually. And one little portion I'm going to pull out, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. So we're all different. We find out what the big call is, and then we find out, okay, Jesus, how will you use me? And it's not always the big important things, you know, that we think are so important. It could be just sweeping. Sweeping, not weeping. Sweeping. So E. Stanley Jones, who's this great Methodist missionary, he's with Jesus now. He used to run religious retreats called ashrams. And he said, a minister of a fashionable church came to an ashram, and when the work period came, in which we all worked with our hands, he remarked, I've come here to develop my spiritual life, not to work with my hands. So he stayed out for a day, but the next day he took a broom and began sweeping out a hall. He came back radiant. He said jubilantly, I didn't know a broom could do that for you. I'm going back to my church and preach the gospel of the broom. So the big important thing you have to do with eternal consequences may be sweeping with a broom. You don't compare yourself to others. You serve. We trust God. We work it out with God. We work it out with God. There's a passage in Philippians that says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding out the word of life. So if it's just sweeping, if it's just helping us put away the stuff after the service, hint, hint, hint. You're holding out the word of life. You're shining like a star in the universe. You find out the unique way God wants to use you for His glory. So the final word in this sermon is start playing the real thing. Preach the gospel of the broom with your life. This is the way to joy to your soul and a way to work out your own calling. Would you stand with me, please? So let me pray with you for a moment. If you feel comfortable doing this, don't do this unless you feel comfortable. Just kind of extend your hands in a sense of openness, like an open vessel. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for the opportunity to gather together as your family, as your body. We thank you that you've called us all out of darkness, and we do want to say yes to you today, and we do want to obey you today as you give us instruction, and we do want to become a part of the big picture of making disciples. And we also, Lord, want to find out our unique calling. And we just pray you would do this by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. I wonder if we could have the prayer on the screen, the prayer of commitment to Jesus. Is there anybody here this morning who would like to give your heart to Jesus for the very first time? I want you to pray this prayer with us. And then go over to our prayer ministry teams and say, I invited Jesus into my heart tonight, today. But I would like for everybody here, including me, just to pray this prayer as a new sign of commitment to the Lord. And you can pray in Spanish or English. Just pray it with me if you would. Lord Jesus Christ, I am sorry for the things I have done wrong in my life. Let's take a moment. Ask forgiveness for anything that's standing out in your mind right now. Please forgive me. If you pray that with me. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything which I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to serve communion. The prayer ministry teams are going to come first. We'll have communion on both sides. We have gluten-free crackers that you dip into the juice. Take your time. Let the Lord minister to you. This is open to every person who has put your faith in Jesus. Doesn't matter what denomination or church you're from. You're welcome to take with us today. And we just invite you to come to the table of the Lord and receive the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as He taught us to do. God bless you.